We're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings, would you look there with me this morning? We're talking about links of loving kindness. Links of loving kindness. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to read here beginning with verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. When the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Assyria said, Go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Syria had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, of a little child. He was clean." Amen. Isn't that a wonderful story? Amen. It's not just a story, it's a reality. It's God's word. And there was a man named Naaman, and he was a man of power and authority and influence. But he was a leper. Now, I've gone through and read this story like many of you, no doubt, and I've read it many, many times. But this morning, I'm seeing this from a different perspective. I'm seeing all the different people and all the different circumstances that was used to bring Naaman to God. And really, he comes to the place finally, and I didn't read the verse, but finally he comes to the place after he returns back to the man of God after he's healed, and he stands before him and he says, "Now I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel." Amen. Now I know there's a God. Now I know there's a God in Israel. He's alive. Now I know there is a God. And the name of the Lord was glorified in Naaman's miraculous healing. But let's look at this morning, and I'm using this
This, and I know you're probably thinking, what does links of loving kindness mean? Well, all of these people and all these circumstances are all individual links in the process of getting him to God. Amen. And let me read you a couple of other verses that tie in with this. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. It says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Amen. Loving kindness, he is pulling. He is drawing men to him. Praise God. And then in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4, and I'm just going to read the first part of this verse. It says, "I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love." Amen. That God is a God who is searching, and he is a God that is drawing men to him. But he uses different people. He uses those that may feel like that they could never be used of the Lord. But you'll see in this account in the life of Naaman that he was a powerful and a mighty man. And he had, you know, so much going for him. He was honored. He was literally a hero in his country. He was a man of authority and leadership. He was respected. He was honored. He was a hero. He had everything going for him except for the dreaded disease of leprosy. Let me tell you, that is the universal, worldwide problem. Leprosy is a type of sin, and that is the universal problem. You look around you and you see all these people with, it seems like their life is just wonderful. And they've got everything going for them. They have money and prestige and they own things and they have all kinds of friends, and it seems like they're always having a good time and always got many people surrounding them in all of their pursuits. There may be even those, you know, who are honored and have such a position in life that they're envied. But let me tell you, they're all stricken with leprosy. They're all in sin. They all need a Savior. And the only way that they can come to the Lord is as we allow the Lord to use us. And we understand that there are certain different links. And if one of these links breaks down in your life or mine, then it may be that that person is not going to be able to be drawn to the Lord. And so we certainly bear great responsibility to those that are in need. We need to view our life, our experience with the Lord as opportunities every day for the Lord's name to be glorified, and no matter what your circumstance, to be used of the Lord. And really the first thing that we want to talk about this morning, and that was Naaman's need. Naaman was in need. Let me tell you, God allows people to come to awareness of their need. And that need is what causes them to turn to God. And sometimes we want to step in and you know, solve their problems and rescue them from their troubles and their problems. But in reality, many times the problems that they're in, what they're suffering as a result of the sin that's in their life, and they need the Lord. And the Lord has brought them to a place where they're longing for help and they're looking for a solution. The only answer is Jesus Christ. Anything that we do would just be a temporary solution. So here he is. He may be a hero. He may have all these things going for him, but he's got leprosy. And there's a scripture, I was looking through these various scriptures on leprosy, and I found this verse in Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. It says, "And there were many lepers in Israel in the times of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Out of this whole region, leprosy was an epidemic. It was a scourge. This is the only man that got help. He was the only man delivered. And I can see a sequence of events. I can see the links in the chain that reveal how that he got there. And it began with his own need for God. His own need for help. And that was driving him to seek a solution and try to find out a way to get to the Lord. that the scripture says that there was an event that took place. Notice here in the text that we read to you that the Syrians had gone out by companies. They had gone into Samaria and they had literally stolen away a young maiden. We don't know how old she was, but probably not much more than a child. But stolen her away. You talk about a tragedy. Whenever something like that would happen, when someone would just come in and come into a village, possibly a border village, and in the night or just in a time when they were unsuspecting, this small little band of men who were of Syria, they came in and they stole her away. Can you imagine as a parent anything more horrible than that? Than your child being stolen away? Can you imagine anything more horrible than a young little girl being stolen away from her family and taken into a foreign country in the fear of the circumstance that she is in? It was a horrible, horrible circumstance. Yes, it was. She was a refugee. She was stolen away. She was a victim of trafficking, taking her into a foreign country to serve, to be abused, no doubt, and used. But here she is in this foreign country. And we have to understand how much that God loves the sinner. How much that He loves them, that He can even allow things to happen to through His plan and through the sovereignty of God to bring about this person who is going to be sovereignly placed within the ear of Naaman, this great captain. But God arranged it, as horrible as it was. And I just want to remind you that some of you may be going through some tough times and going through some really bad situations. And you can't imagine how that God could ever get any good out of it or any glory out of the circumstance that you are in. But I want to remind you that if you are a child of God, if you are a believer, it doesn't matter what you are dealing with and what trouble you're going through. Whatever it is, God has you where you are, and what He wants you to do is to glorify God in that situation. Amen. He wants you to glorify God in that situation. He wants you to make yourself available to God in that situation that you are in, because this is part of the plan. This is one of the ways that God has moved in other circumstances in the scripture. Remember Joseph? Also stolen away into a foreign country, falsely accused, mistreated, thrown in prison, betrayed by his brethren. All these things that were happening to him, but yet he was in a foreign country. And no doubt he did not understand all the reasons that he was down there in that place. But in all that he did, he honored God. In all that he did, he remained true in his character. No matter if he was in a foreign country, he never brought reproach to the name of the Lord. He lived honorably and did that which is right. Now he suffered for doing that which is right. But in the end, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, and he's talking to his brethren now who have finally come back, those that had betrayed him and sold him into slavery. In verse 20, he says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Amen. And so you may not understand what it is that you're dealing with right now. The enemy, he means it for evil, to destroy you. But God has placed you in a situation, in a circumstance. If you'll give glory and honor to the Lord, if you'll be a faithful servant of the Lord, God can use you even in the worst of circumstances. Daniel's another example. A young man taken into captivity, stolen away. There he is in that place, put under the pressure to conform and to be like everyone else. But he was not willing to partake of the king's wine and meat. He maintained his integrity. And God positioned him down there in that heathen country. So at a time when tragedy was going to come, at a time when there was going to be all of this unrest and the king suffering these dreams, that there was going to be a man with an excellent spirit. There was going to be a man who had understanding in dreams and visions, and God had placed him there Oh, no doubt he went through a lot of challenging and difficult times. Just a young man stolen away, but God, through his sovereign will, put him in that situation so that he could be that man of wisdom and excellent spirit who could glorify God in a heathen land. Amen. Amen. So he placed this young little maiden down there in Syria, stolen away from her family, no doubt heartbroken, but strategically placed in the household of Naaman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another link in the chain, another link in God's love that is reaching for the lost, reaching for the heathen, reaching for those who will never have any thought of the Lord. But now Nathan has a need, and God knew that he was going to have this need, and there was going to be no one to point Nathan to the true and living God. And so he stole away this little child who knew enough about God and knew enough about the prophet of God to put her in that place, so at the right time that she could speak up. Some really important lessons when it comes to you and me being used of God as a link to bring people to Jesus Christ. People are in their need. God is sovereignly working in our lives. And so when you're facing things that you do not understand, be aware that God knows exactly where you are, and everywhere you go and every time you have the opportunity, glorify the name of the Lord. Speak up for Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Then she planted a seed. Number one was Naaman's need. Number two was God's sovereign direction. And number three, planting of the seed. Planting of the seed. That's what she did. She just simply said, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. It was only a suggestion, and she had no authority, and her word no doubt meant nothing. Let me tell you, when people have a great need, they're always looking and searching for an answer. And it's when they're in a great need that they would, before their need, they would never have paid one bit of attention to this little maiden's suggestion. But now, when all hope is gone and there seems to be no answer, no one else, according to Luke 24, no other leper in the time of Elisha was recovered from their leprosy. And so he knew he was condemned. He knew that he was under this terrible, terrible, fatal situation. And so now he's willing to listen. He's willing to listen, and God has arranged it. And so she is there, and God has positioned her there. And she just speaks a word. She just plants a seed and just says, if he was just in the right place and could hear the word of God, he could get help. He could be healed. He could be recovered from his situation. Do you know that the Lord gives to us all opportunities, and too often we don't speak up? Too often we talk about every other solution, but we never remind people. I know it's difficult when you're among people that are unsaved, but it's an opportunity, and the Lord has put us in a heathen land. Amen. All around us, you'll find yourself surrounded by people who don't know God, who don't have any understanding of who He is or what God can do. That's why He has put you where you are, placed you where you are, and He has given you an opportunity. And you can become a link in this bringing of men to God, drawing men to God. You can be a link, and you can just plant a seed. You can just point them to Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be anything profound. It doesn't have to be anything, super spiritual sounding. You can just simply point people to the fact that you know Jesus, and He's helped you, and He's touched you, and He's changed your life, and He can do the same thing for someone else in their need. Plant a seed. I think it was interesting in light of the topic here today. I hadn't really noticed it that much before, but she spoke a word and planted the seed. In verse 4 it says, and one went in. It's not talking about Naaman's wife or the little servant girl. Someone else no doubt overheard what she said. And so this is a person, that an unnamed person, someone else. And so you can be encouraged to know that there will be people that God will use to bring your loved one, that person you're concerned about. You don't even know their name. They're the unnamed, unknown link that God can use to bring the message to people that you don't even know. Could they ever possibly do that? And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." Now, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into this, but the response here is not from Naaman. So I don't know. Maybe this was a meeting. This may have been a cabinet meeting. Who knows what this was? Because the response doesn't come from Naaman. The response comes from the king of Syria. He hears that someone possibly came into the king's cabinet meeting, or a meeting of his generals and his captains, and someone steps in there and says, "There's a little girl out here, and they said if Naaman would go to this prophet of God, he could get help." And Naaman didn't even get a chance to speak up, because the king says, go now, go, and I will send a letter. Not only go, but I'm going to write a letter to the king of Israel to give you words of authority. So the Lord used the unnamed person. The Lord used the king of Syria as another link in the chain to get the job done. Amen. "I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Amen. Now, just think about it for a minute. Syria was enemy to Israel. They were enemies. As a matter of fact, Syria had just been an invading army into Israel. So what could they ever expect good to come out of the captain, their hero, going down into this place that was certainly not going to be very responsive to him? But the king says, "I'm going to write a letter to the king of Israel to give you authority, to give you passage, to go and to speak to the king and get help." You know, need drives people to do what they would never do before. Amen. It drives people to do what they would never be able to do. He would have never have taken a suggestion from this little maiden before. He would never go into a country that he had just invaded. And he'd never go before a king. It was his the king of this enemy nation. But he did all these things. He went into this dangerous territory because he wanted help. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people out there. They don't know what kind of help they need. They just know that they need help. I was reading, with all this stuff going on in Japan. Japan is one of the leading nations as far as suicide is concerned, averaging 2,500 suicides a month. This is before the earthquake. 2,500 suicides per month. This is a nation hopeless. This is a nation without Christ. This is a nation that needs the gospel. A very, very hard mission field. Those that have gone into Japan to work in Japan. It's a challenging, challenging work. Hard to break in. Most of the churches there in Japan are very small. But now there's been new circumstances. Now a tragedy. Now the whole nation is in need. Thousands of people have died. And there is an open door for the gospel in Japan. Now, like never before, need drives people to God when they would never listen to the voice of the Lord in any other circumstance. Amen. Let me throw in this also. Satan, he loves to confuse the plan of God. He loves to confuse it and stop the seed from taking root and growing and bringing fruit. So he brought the letter, verse 6, to the king of Israel. And when the king read it, he said, he rent his clothes. He said, "What's going on here?" He thinks, "I'm God, that I can cure him of his leprosy." He's just wanting to pick another quarrel with us. This is just the beginning of war that's getting to break out. The enemy loves to throw in and to confuse the plan of God. Matthew 13, where the seeds were sown and the fields were planted. The Bible says in Matthew 13 and 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Oh, the enemy loves to confuse the plan of God. Amen. He loves to try to stop it. If someone is starting to listen to the gospel, have you ever noticed it? If you're talking to someone about the Lord, that everything happens to hinder it. Everything. The phone rings. Other people come. Other problems. The babies wake up and start crying. All kinds of things start happening. And the enemy loves to confuse the plan of God, especially if God is drawing them. God is bringing them by His loving kindness to the kingdom of God, just as He was to Naaman. He was drawing him to the Lord and to know God and to eventually confess, now I know there's a God in Israel. Nowhere else, but there's a true and a living God in Israel. The greatest thing was not Naaman's healing. The greatest thing was his profession of the fact that he understood that there is a true and a living God. That was the great victory in this story. Amen. Satan loves to confuse the plan. But we need to remember that God can always break through into any situation. No doubt, Elisha heard what was going on. The king had rent his clothes. He said, why have you rent your clothes? I don't know. I like to imagine how all these things are happening, because this was the day before not only cell phones, but telephones. He heard about it. I don't know if it's a matter of hours or days, but somehow he got word to the king and said, why did you rent your clothes? Send him to me. Amen. Aren't you glad that there is a man of God, that there are those that know God and those that can deal with the needs and the situations that people are in. And God uses men. Amen. And so he comes with his entourage to Elisha's house, expecting Elisha. And he even said what he expected was going to happen. He had his expectations of what he believed, what was going to happen. In his mind, he'd already figured it out. But this man was a man so full of pride. This was a man that thought that, you could just put up enough money and you could solve all of your problems. And that's why Elisha didn't come out to him. It wasn't because he's being just, hard to get along with or that he didn't like him. He understood that this was a man who was proud. He was authoritarian and he could just say, listen, come out here. You put your hand right here. Here's the problem. You take care of this problem. Then I'm going to pay you and it's going to be a done deal. It's never God's plan to follow our own thinking and our own rationale. God moves according to His ways and His plans. And Elisha confirmed that in his life by telling him to do what would destroy his pride. Dip in that muddy Jordan. He was so angry. He did not want to do it. He was so upset by the command of this prophet. He was ready to leave. I forgot about all these links. The king was a link. Of course, Elijah was a link. And now, Naaman's decided, let's go. They're starting to ride back to Syria. And the Bible says his servants. Now, these were men that were heathen as well. They didn't know God. They were just doing what they were told to do. But you know that God can even use unsaved people. He can even use the heathen sometimes as a link to cause people to turn to the Lord. God uses amazing circumstances, and it's surprising sometimes the people that He uses as a link to bring men to God. Amen. Amen. So His servants gather around Him and say, listen, I'm paraphrasing. Listen, we've rolled all this way down here. We've come all this distance. It's not that big of a deal. Let's just do it. Let's just do what he said. It's not going to hurt anything. Those words of encouragement from these heathen servants caused him to change his mind. Amen. And I can't help but believe it wasn't also the fact that in his mind, his heart, he knew, I'm going home with the same problem. I'm not going to be changed. I might as well give this a try. And so this was the act of faith. This was the act of faith and obedience to do what he was called on to do. Amen.
And so the Bible says that he does. He went down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Glory to God. 1 time, 2, 3, 4. The 7th time, he comes up instantly. The touch of God, instantly. God has moved. It's a miracle. The only man in all of Israel, in all of that area, to be healed of leprosy, according to Luke 24, was this man Naaman, who finally obeyed the voice of the Lord and got help. Amen. Glory to God. So he used the unsaved and the heathen. He used his faith and his obedience. And his willingness to finally do what the Lord had called him to do. And then he goes back. He goes back to the prophet. Verse 15. He and all of his company came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Amen. What a profession by this Syrian captain. What a word from him. There's not a God except this God. This is the true and the living God. And that was all the whole purpose of what God was doing in the life of Naaman. Can you imagine the stir in Syria when Naaman comes back? Miraculously healed. The whole nation of Syria is stirred up by it, and the name of the Lord is glorified. And those people, even though they are heathen, they recognize that God has worked a mighty work. Amen. That truly there is a God in Israel. Amen. So God uses a lot of people. He uses circumstances. He uses our willingness to obey and to act in faith, do what the Lord has called us to do. God uses all these links, these bands of his loving kindness, drawing and bringing men to him. And right now, those of you that you are concerned in your situation and your trouble and your problem that you're in, I just want to encourage you to know that God can use you even in the worst of times. Hallelujah. God can use you. Most of us have read the book of Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place, and been encouraged by her testimony, the tragedy in her household, the tragedy in her family, God bringing her through that whole circumstance, and then as a woman of faith to be used of God to challenge people for decades as to the grace of God and to the love of God and the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Just these different links that God uses. It came to my mind that we must not fail God. It's too serious. If we fail the Lord, there are going to be those that are going to be lost. If we fail the Lord, there's going to be a break in the chain. You've heard it said that the strongest chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And all of us are a part of this plan. We're all a part of the plan of God to bring men, to draw men, to bring them into the kingdom of God. Now, if God can reach into the heart of a heathen land and arrange circumstances to bring this man Naaman to know God, don't ever doubt that God can't work in your situation. And that he can't move for your family. He's not talking to them. You've prayed for them. Let me tell you, God, he knows how to set up a sequence of events. He knows how to arrange the right people to be there and to talk to them and to provide a witness or to give just a word, just plant a seed in their heart wherever that they may be. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. But be what God wants you to be and be that strong link in the chain to be used of the Lord to bring men to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We know, Lord, that you're talking and you're working and you're arranging by your sovereign will and plan. Help us, Lord, to not fail, Lord, in the purpose and plan that you have arranged in our lives. But Lord, help us to be willing to speak up for you. Lord, help us to live our life to glorify your name everywhere and in every circumstance. Lord, to lift up
the name of Jesus Christ, to point men to you, Lord. Lord, give us a word in season. Give us a word fitly spoken. God, use us individually here in this service, Lord, to be a link in the chain that eventually will draw men to know you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Would you stand with me? This month of April, we're encouraging you, challenging you. Please, let the Lord use you. Let the love of God just pour through you and caring about those that are in their need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You never know the people in their need. Let me tell you, it's obvious. I've seen it just over and over. People have no interest in God, no interest in the things of God, but suddenly they're in a crisis. Someone in their family has gotten sick, or someone in their family has died. The family's in a crisis. Maybe the marriage is, you know, they're going through marital problems, or, you know, it could be so many things. Sometimes the loss of a job, Brother Jack Bright, your little neighbor, the loss of the job, and now they're thrown into a crisis. I don't know if they know the Lord or not, but it may be, brother, that God has put you right there as their neighbor. Pray for them. Amen. And point them to the Lord as the answer. Their need is what will drive them to search for an answer. And it can't be found in this world. It can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to be used of the Lord? Do you want to be one of those links in the chain that God is using to draw men into the kingdom of God? Amen. If that's your desire, and you truly want to be used of the Lord, I want to ask if you would just come. Let's stand here across the front of this building. And we're going to pray together that God would sovereignly work and arrange circumstances in our life, and that we would not be blind to them, but we would see the hand of God that's at work, and that we'll be used of the Lord. If you want to be used of the Lord in this way, in these coming days, I want to welcome you to come and to stand here at this altar. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to ask God to work, to speak through us, and to use us. We're going to pray here. We're going to make ourselves available to God for however He chooses to use us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't think I've ever done this before. Matter of fact, I usually don't like to do this. But I want to ask you to link up hands. Amen. With some of those around you. Amen. Not necessarily everybody, but just get in a group or however and just link up your arms or in hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Could we just pray together this morning? And let's make ourselves available to God. Hallelujah. Lord, every young person, every man and woman around this altar today, Lord, I want to be used. I want to be used, Lord. I want to influence people. I want to speak a word in season. I want to be in that place where I can point people in their need to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't want to fail you. I don't want to be weak. But Lord, I want to be strong. I want to be used, Lord. Oh, God. I just pray, Lord, for each one of these, Lord, that are in this altar this morning. God, that you would help us to see that you're at work already. You're already arranging and working and providing a way. You already have a plan whereby men can come to the kingdom. And Lord, I know that part of that is our willingness to be used. Oh, we thank you for it. Glory to God. Glory to God.